The first is called The Mark of the Christian by Francis Schaeffer. And so before I say more about this, I want to just invite you into the summer reading. Okay, I want to invite the congregation into this time of summer reading. They're going to be going through Francis Schaeffer's book, The Mark of the Christian, and also Lauren Cunningham's book, Is That Really You, God? On Hearing the Voice of God. Both are tremendous. The Mark of the Christian, in keeping with Jesus' prayer in John 17 for unity, just an incredible little book. If you check your email tomorrow, you'll have the opportunity to respond and say, I want a book, or I want books. You'll pay just a little bit more for less reading. It's a bit of a joke, but it's true. And then this book by Lauren Cunningham. Let me tell you about Lauren Cunningham. He was the first person in history to travel for the sake of Christ and the Great Commission to every sovereign nation on earth. All dependent countries and more than 100 territories. Now he has added one more stamp to his well-worn passport, heaven. And interestingly enough, the last chapter is written by Lauren Cunningham in his 88th year. And he passed away when he was 88 years old. So this final chapter in this book was written when he was 88 years old. So I've got a very short message this morning. I've been hanging around with these guys that they always have everybody repeat everything. Everybody say short. No. I don't know if you guys can do that or not, but it's good. There were two guys that pulled into the laneway the other day. I was here at the building, and these two guys with beautiful French accents pull up, and I'm talking to them, and they're looking for a fire truck. And I don't know, like to buy a fire truck or something. I said, man, you know, we start fires, you know, through the Holy Spirit. We don't put out fires, you know. And now they got a kick out of that, but I tell you that because it's important. It's an important kind of illustration to what I want to talk about this morning, because I want to talk about the fire that's going on in you, or the lack thereof. The fire that's going on in us, or the lack thereof. God is looking for a people of fire. The Bible says that he would rather that we were hot or cold, but because we're lukewarm, it says he'll spew us out of his mouth. He's looking for hot, hot Christians, red hot Christians. I want to just play this clip by Adrian Plass, and I'll tell you more about it in a minute. Summer, we're introducing the interns to the best mentors that we can offer them, you know. Adrian Plass, I consider a mentor, believe it or not. Like, so it's not just those that you know, but God brings many, many people into our lives to mentor us. I'm going to be talking a little bit more about that in a few minutes. The title of this message is Things My Father is Teaching Me, Part 2. Except I don't have to even... I mean, I hope I don't have to capitalize F. It should be capitalized because that's the father I'm talking about, because my father's in heaven. So I don't know. He's not fathering me right now. But things I'm learning. And that's the word I want you to underline and to notice all the times in Scripture where you got the ing attached and things that we're learning. So if you think that you've arrived, wait till tomorrow, you know. Wait till tomorrow. So we are continually learning from our Heavenly Father. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 5, very familiar scriptures, I want to read them. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. I want to continue in Proverbs 3 just for a minute and read a couple more verses, but I want to say that these are incredibly important days to take seriously your walk with the Lord. Take your walk with the Lord incredibly, very, very seriously, and I'll say more about that in a minute. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them on your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will find favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. One of the songs this morning reminded me of a saying that I heard years ago where God is doing more behind our backs than in front of our faces. If we could see, if the veil could be taken back, we would see the activity of heaven all around us. We would see what God is doing, and we would just marvel. And we'd probably be a little less anxious if we understood how much God is for us and what he's doing even behind the scenes. In Psalm 32:6, you know, some scriptures grip me when I read them, and sometimes, you know, I read them and there's a particular application or way in which it lands on my heart, and that's the Lord. The Holy Spirit uses scripture to kind of grip us and lay hold of us. And this scripture in Psalm 32:6 says this, therefore let the godly pray to you while you may be found. I've never forgotten this scripture since I was probably just a teenager or a little older when I read this scripture for the first time, and it says, therefore let the godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when great waters rise, they will not come near. So the application to my heart, there's several ways in which you can read this and interpret it and apply it, but I want to apply it, and I have applied it to my own life as a serious word, as a word that today is the day the scripture says. It says, therefore, let the godly pray to you while you may be found. Today is the day to pray. Not when the sky falls in and when your world is turned upside down. That's a good time to pray too. But now is the time to pray. Today is the time to pray. Now is the time. It means literally in the time of finding. In the time of finding. We pray in the time of finding. God, His presence, His nearness is available to each and every one that calls upon His name. In the time of finding, now is the time to call upon Him. You know, my concern about prayerlessness is not the lack of prayer. It's the lack of desire for prayer. And coming back to the fire, I've been praying for this fire, that the fire would be released, that the desire would be birthed in us. I've never liked guilt messages. I really like grace motivation. You know, grace has motivated my life. I just, you know, it's like He gave me an A+ from the beginning, you know? When He saved me, when He called me to be His son, when He called me into the kingdom, He gave me an A+. You know, when the heavens opened up in Mark 1:11 and the Father spoke over the Son, He said, you're my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus hadn't even begun His ministry. No miracles, no healing, nothing else. The Father spoke that affirming word over His Son. I tell you, you can run on a word like that. You can run, you can be invigorated and have energy and vigor to run when you know the favor of God, when He loves us and puts His stamp of, you know, of love and approval upon us. I asked the interns this question this week. I said, describe an experience. No, I didn't say that, sorry. Describe a place where you'd never been before. You guys were doing that this morning. That was you're in a place you'd never been before. And I asked them to attach an emotion to it. I want you to think about a place that you went to where you'd never been before. I want to give you a second just to grab a hold of one, okay? Grab a hold of a place you went that you'd never been before, or a situation you faced that you never faced before. Just before Bible college, I went out to Edmonton. So I was away from home. I was just a young man. And arrived in Edmonton during an incredible economic boom. I had no job experiences really in my life, or not a whole lot of experience in my life, but I was offered three jobs in one week. So I accepted the job at Gaynor's Meat Plant in Edmonton, and I was being paid this incredible wage, lots of money, and I was hanging wieners, you know, hot dogs. Like, they would come off this machine kind of in coils, and I'd put this bar through them, and I'd lift it up like this, and I'd put it on another rack that kind of went down the line like this. And so this was my day, you know? And I was there doing this all day, and I'm saying, Lord, you know, I am so grateful for this job, you know, because, you know, the pay is incredible, and I got to make money to go to Bible college, but if there's something else you know, that I could be doing, you know, if there's just something else, within a week, I was offered to train in the an area of the building called the smokehouse, or where the smokehouses were, and I became a smokehouse operator. Okay, so this is where the story fits my message this morning. So I being trained to be a smokehouse operator. So there were all these ovens, but there was a wall with all these dials and switches and gauges and just all kinds of, just a whole wall of this. And I'm looking at this and I'm just overwhelmed. I can't do this, you know. Great opportunity, great job, more money. Anyway, lots of different benefits about this new job. Just so overwhelming. So I got on the phone and I called my mom. I called my mom because my mom knew how to pray. She knew how to touch heaven. She knew how to pray. And I said, Mom, you got to pray. You know, this is just all just, you know, so foreign to me. And I just don't know if I can do it. And she began to pray. And all of a sudden, things began to change. They began to change. I became a smokehouse operator. In fact, I got so good at this and the job was so good and it paid so much, I almost skipped going to Bible college, which is another story. I almost missed going to Elam Bible Institute and thought, oh, I can just go to a local Bible Institute here and keep my job, make lots of money and all that. Anyway, that's a story for another time, but I did quit that job and stay the course and go to Bible college. In Joshua chapter 3, I want to turn to Joshua chapter 3 and read this. I was telling the interns this week that in Bible college, you have to, you know, one of the courses, you have to know all the books of the Bible, right? So for this portion of scripture, I had Joshua judges Ruth, you know. Joshua judges Ruth, you know. I know you're thinking just the books, but Joshua judges Ruth. You know? And for the major prophets, I had in Jerusalem, ladies eat donuts. And so So each of the first letters are the major prophets. So Joshua chapter 3, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out. They went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. Then you will know which way to go, because you've never been this way before. And so I shared this with the interns, it's a fact that they have never been this way before. This is a brand new internship. It's brand new for us, brand new for the church, brand new year, brand new days and future. But it can be applied to all of our lives at this and at any point in our lives that we have never been this way before. Never been this way before. And you don't even know all what that's going to look like. None of us do. But here they were to follow the Ark of the Covenant, which was the place of presence. I love that. They were to follow the Ark of the Covenant, which was the place of presence. They were to follow the presence, and they would know which way to go. So that's Joshua. So here are three of my biblical mentors, and they're going to be easy to remember. Joshua, and the second one is James. So Joshua and James, three of my biblical mentors on prayer. These guys do a great job on mentoring us to follow the presence. You know, to seek the Lord and to follow him. James says this in James 1 verse 5. It says that, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously and without reproach, and it will be given him. You know, prayer, this kind of prayer and prayer to the Lord opens up a floodgate of wisdom from on high. It's like a waterfall, and I'm going to talk about waterfalls in a minute again, but there's something that opens up over our heads and over our hearts when we call upon the name of the Lord, when we seek him. And James, another translation says, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him. Pray. If you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him. Pray. And he will gladly tell you, for he is always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask him, to all who pray. I'm going to share my own personal experience of this past week and some of the things that happened, but this has been my life story, is that I have gone down on my knees one way and come up another. That there is a window of heaven that opens to those who admit that they lack wisdom. Lord, we don't know which way to go. That's my third mentor. Did I talk about Jehoshaphat yet? Not yet. So he's the third J. Jehoshaphat. But let me finish with James. James says this. It actually, when he says that God will give liberally or generously, it denotes something that, it denotes a bountiful supply. And here it actually portrays one who gives extravagantly, generously, lavishly, liberally, plentifully, or richly, holding nothing back. That's the kind of wisdom that he pours out on us. When we will humble ourselves and admit our lack, he will come through. You know, I never really understood the scripture that says that without me you can do nothing. You know, I always thought, you know, I don't know what Jesus meant by that, because we seem to be doing a lot of stuff, you know. We seem to be able to, you know, do a lot of stuff. But as I get older and as I walk with the Lord, I realize the truth to that. You know, I've had such a flooding of wisdom come over me when I have admitted my lack, and he's flooded this wisdom into me. I would not dare to take credit for it. You know, I mean, to take credit for it, you know, it doesn't originate with me. It doesn't originate with you. It comes from on high. It's given as a gift. It's a gift to receive and to be grateful for and thankful for. But it's not a gift to boast about, you know. I've come to that place of boasting and come to the place where I touch something that I should not touch because it was not mine. It was a gift. I was a steward of something, you know. And I come, I've learned, or my father's teaching me, you know, that we don't take that credit to ourselves. We don't, you know, if anything, we don't walk around, oh, you know, like the guy that gets the compliments all the time, and say, oh, no, I'm just such, you know, a worm, you know, like, but we take a compliment. That's okay, because God's gifted us and blessed us, and you're precious, every single one of you, and the things you do, people will say thank you for. But as I've said many times before, at the end of the day, take those affirmation and bring the bouquet back to where it belongs and just present it to the Lord and thank him, because he's doing it. It's all from him. So holding nothing back, his wisdom refreshes like a waterfall on an extremely hot day. That's a good description of his wisdom, like a waterfall. So Joshua, James, and now Jehoshaphat. So three mentors. Jehoshaphat's one I like a lot, and I refer to this a lot, especially during some difficult years in our lives. I really so appreciated walking with Jehoshaphat and the wisdom that he brought to the table, you know, which was simply this. He said, oh God, and this is in 2 Chronicles 2012, but you can even read 2 Chronicles 20:20 if you want perfect vision. But for today, I'm just going to quote 2 Chronicles 20:12. Jehoshaphat says, oh God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. See, there's a humility in acknowledging the vast army. There's a humility in acknowledging our inability to face this ourselves, you know? We sometimes, we pay a high cost, a high price for pride that moves forward and presses in, rather than humbling ourselves and saying, I don't know which way to go, Lord. I don't know which way to go, but my eyes are on you. And again, we open ourselves up for a wisdom that is not our own. I'm so overwhelmed in my own heart over his grace. And this week I had an example of this where I experienced, about a week ago, I experienced this peace. I felt the Lord's peace, and I know his peace. It's my all-time favorite fruit of the Holy Spirit, and so I've come to really love it and appreciate it. So I received this peace, but I thought it meant certain things, and I thought it meant, like, I had the peace and assurance of things, and so I began to try to plan and try to do things, but I was becoming anxious as I was doing this. My heart was becoming anxious because I realized I was doing this. And the peace was actually an invitation into trust. If I responded correctly, it would be that I would then begin to trust that he was going to take care of all these things. And there were many things that needed taking care of that I just was becoming anxious about. Then I returned to this place. I began to enter into this place of gratitude, and peace began to return. So I want to tell you a little bit about gratitude and how that worked out this past week. And then the waterfall just began to break. There was this waterfall this past week that just began to break. It was like one thing after another. And the waterfall hasn't stopped. Even this morning, that same waterfall has fallen on me in a couple of ways in terms of what I was anxious about. But returning to a place of peace. Even in the prayer room, we prayed this morning that we would war out of rest. We would war out of rest, you know, because he could do more in a second than we could do with all the sweat that we could manage up, you know. So we war out of rest. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not be anxious about everything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is a very real thing. This is not hypothetical. This is the nearness of God pressing in on our lives, manifesting himself through the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and one of them is peace. Love, joy, peace. And I'm going to talk about one other fruit in a second. An ancient Christian practice that some of us have some exposure to is the examine. The examine is an ancient Christian practice of going back over the last 24 hours, reflecting over the last 24 hours of our day, and doing it with a heart of gratitude, like kind of entering, going back into just reflecting on what happened the last 24 hours with a heart of gratitude, and looking for those places where God was present, where he was trying to get our attention, or he was there. And it's too big a topic to get into in a big way this morning. I just want to touch on one aspect of the examine that is so precious and so important. So what it invites us to do is to go back and linger longer in gratitude. Life goes by very, very quickly, and the last 24 hours is gone. It's gone by very, very quickly. When I came back after walking the Camino, I found that even riding my bicycle was too fast out in the country. As I rode it, it was too fast. Things were moving just too fast around me. And on the Camino, I summed up the Camino as beauty at a pace you can absorb. Beauty at a pace you can absorb. And so we need to go back and to linger. So I want you to bring up the Dio clip. So rather than 24 hours, I'm going to take us back a week and move forward just in really quickly in a week. But let's go back to last Sunday for a minute. Can we do that? This is Dio from Nigeria. He's one of our missionaries. He's a church planter in Ottawa. We're just so blessed to have him as one of our missionaries. He preached on the Holy Spirit, and then he ministered to people afterwards. It was a beautiful morning. Holy Spirit, the sweet Holy Spirit. You know, we need to honor the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God. And Holy Spirit, we honor you right now in this place. Sweet Holy Spirit. Sweet Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, would you come? Would you come and land on our hearts even now? Just come, Holy Spirit. We invite you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here with us. On July 1st, Canada Day, I had a buddy visiting from Tilbury, so we went downtown. Valerie wanted to work around the property a little bit, so she stayed home, but we went down to the heart of the city. And there was a great air show. Was anyone there? Anybody see the air show? Okay. And then they had paratroopers land on Parliament Hill, and so quite a sight. But the highlight for me was walking down Wellington Street and getting to the corner of Elgin. Everywhere you looked, there were signs telling you that Jesus loved you, and there were people handing out literature, and there was a worship team right on the corner. They were set up worshiping the Lord. Their faces were aglow. They were from a black church on Colonnade. Just the most lovely families, and they're out there ministering and loving on people. And so that was the highlight. And so I went for a walk this week. After I'd returned, and I was returning to this place of peace, I began to just reflect back on the things that I had missed, you know, the things that I had not taken time to be grateful for. And so I went all the way back to Dio last Sunday and the sweet Holy Spirit. And then on Monday, this black church that we're worshiping, and the beautiful people that I got to meet and invite our unity meetings. They never heard of them. And so that's why this book is so important, this book by Francis Schaeffer on the mark of the Christian, because there's so many in our city that are still not connected. The body of Christ needs to be connected. The family needs to meet one another. We've got to have more FaceTime with one another, because the body of Christ is so beautiful. So very quickly, let me just mention a few more. So the first day of the internship, there was one of the interns prayed, and he surprised me. He just starts praying, "I am so grateful for this internship." I mean, it had just started, you know? Now that's, actually, there's a good message in that, you know? Gratitude isn't just for what's ahead of us, it's for what's coming. Even the anticipation and being grateful. But anyway, he was grateful for the opportunity and grateful for the internship. And then I was in the office the next day, and I stayed later than the interns because I was working on some things, and the phone rang, and I knew my grandchildren were at home, but I wasn't able to be there that afternoon. They came for piano lessons, so I wasn't going to be there. But I'd kind of forgotten, because I knew I wasn't going to be there or be able to be there, and Valerie called me. As I began to reflect on this and go back, and when you do the exam and you go back and you think about these things, it's a fresh opportunity for gratitude. Gratitude that you missed. Gratitude for the phone call that came in. The phone call that came in that got me in my car and got me all the way home so that I could fix my little grandson's bicycle, you know? It was just one of these moments, and I was just so grateful for. And then we got this call from out of town saying a family's coming to visit us next week, and I heard this, and I had felt initially weighty, you know, I felt weighty over this, because there's so much on our plate, and, you know, hospitality does cost, right? It's, you know, so I felt a little bit weighty. But then on my walk, I'm going over all these things, and I'm saying, Lord, I'm so grateful. So great. This couple, they might be here next Sunday. They're so precious to us, family members. And I just began to express my gratitude for them. The next day I was in the kitchen. Their names just came to my heart. You know, I just thought, oh, they're coming, you know. And up comes this bubble of joy, you know. There's just these connections I wanted to make for you because they felt so good to me. So pray. Psalm 32:6. And this is just the summary. Let those that are godly pray to you while you may be found. Make prayer a priority. And if there isn't that desire to pray, it's not there. Pray for the fire of the Holy Spirit. If you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I mean, if you've not given your heart to Jesus, then that's the place to start. You know, you gotta be born again the first time, right? I mean, there's this coming into the kingdom. You must be born again. You must invite Jesus into your heart to be your Savior. But after that, there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where you can be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, filled with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So pray. Pray while you can. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. So Joshua said, ask and you will receive godly mentors into your life. So ask for those godly mentors to come into your life. And just be open to God to send the right mentors. Add Joshua, James, and Jehoshaphat to your list of mentors. And practice intentional gratitude. Go back and give thanks. I want to just take you through that practice. You guys want to come up, we'll have a closing song. But I want to take you back to the practice of gratitude. And so join me. Let's reflect over the last 24 hours and take just a quiet moment to reflect over what's happened over the last 24 hours. And lay a hold of one thing that maybe got by you really quick. It happened really quick. And the Lord was there trying to get your attention. And you can just, in that moment, just give thanks to Him. So let's take a moment to reflect. Father, I want to thank You that You are teaching us that this is an ongoing walk that we have with You. Lord, we get to walk with You, Lord. It's walking. It's not just a past tense. It's an ongoing walking, Lord. And I thank You, Lord, that Your wisdom is available to those that will call upon You, will humble themselves and ask. Lord, those of us that confess our lack and ask for Your wisdom, Lord. There's so many situations that face the lives of everyone in this congregation right here, everyone listening on Zoom. There are so many complicated situations right now facing people's lives. So many vast armies. And so, Lord, I pray, along with them, Lord, and we confess with our mouths and our hearts that we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on You. I pray for anyone here that's not received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that this very day, Holy Spirit, we just pray that it would be their day to be filled with the Holy Spirit, in the mighty name of Jesus. As a new believer, I would go to bed, and I still have this practice, I would go to bed asking the Lord, Lord, I want more. I want more of You. I want more of what You have for me, whatever it is. You want to speak to me in the night season with a dream. I want that dream. You want to fill me. And I just encourage you, if you're not hungry, ask the Lord to give you hunger. If you're not on fire, ask Him to give you fire. Like just ask the simple, start somewhere. And as you do that, He will not pass you by. Hallelujah.